Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hey, Mark, pass me the salt, if you would. No, sure. I'm kidding. But sodium chloride, often called table salt, is a huge component of the American diet. We've adopted human beings to surviving with very low but also very high sodium levels. We can conserve huge amounts of sodium by altering our sweat and our urine sodium. And likewise, we can in reverse that process to eliminate salt. Yeah. But regardless, the average sodium intake in the United States remains very high, in part because of processed foods that contain huge amounts of sodium. It is our fondness for the taste of salt that is really hard to allow us to reduce salt intake. We know that BP-related diseases, in that category, I would include coronary heart disease and stroke and heart failure and end-stage renal disease. About half of coronary artery disease events and strokes are attributed to high blood pressure, and high blood pressure is complicated. It results from a lot of factors, including genetics and environmental factors like diet, physiologic things that have to do with things like age, and clinical factors like kidney disease and kidney function. Sodium intake is one of the determinants of blood pressure that we can actually modify. Can't do much about our genes, but we can definitely change how much salt we consume. Dietary sodium reduction lowers blood pressure across the lifespan. If we look at this in children and teens and older people, reducing salt reduces blood pressure. And there have been dozens of studies that have examined the complicated relationship between sodium intake and BP. The magnitude of BP reduction from reduced salt intake appears to be greater in some people, such as Black folks, older folks, individuals with hypertension, and in people with diabetes or kidney disease. So if it's hard to stop consuming salt, can we use salt substitutes? Mark, you found a poem. It was published in the New England Journal of Medicine in 2021. For those that want to read along, it starts on page 1067. And it attempts to answer the clinical question, does the use of partial salt substitute improve health outcomes in elderly persons at risk for stroke? Is this going to be a solution, Mark?
Well, we know, as you said, that it reduces blood pressure more in some folks, as you said, than others. But we don't know whether that translates into improved patient-oriented outcomes. So this was a cluster randomized trial in China, and they identified 600 rural villages, and they randomized by village to either using a salt substitute, which was 25% potassium chloride, or regular salt, which is, of course, 100% sodium chloride. They recruited 35 persons in each village who had a history of a stroke or who were 60 and older with hypertension. There was a total of over 21,000 participants. People were excluded if they had a contraindication to potassium chloride, like having renal disease, using a potassium-sparing drug, or using potassium supplements. The average age was 65, and about three-quarters had had a history of a stroke. The groups looked similar at baseline, and the analysis was by intention to treat, which is all good, and the allocation was appropriately concealed. So what did they find? The patients were followed up at six-month intervals for 5 years, and they had really good adherence to follow up, and they were able to track almost everybody in the study. The risk that the group that got the salt substitute did have slightly lower blood pressure, about 3 millimeters over 1 millimeter, which is consistent with what other studies have shown. The risk of any stroke was significantly decreased in the salt substitute group. Number needed to treat was about 217 per year. And the risk of fatal stroke was also decreased. Again, number needed to treat about 500 per year. And all-cause mortality was significantly lower in the salt substitute group. The NNT there was about 190 per year. So they found a consistent effect across different age groups by sex and by comorbidities. And they also didn't find any harms in terms of an increase in the likelihood of hyperkalemia. So bottom line, For older patients who have a history of stroke or at risk for stroke, using a salt substitute safely reduces their risk of death or stroke.
I've got a couple of questions. I've spent a moderate amount of time in China, most of it in cities, not in rural areas, but I can't help think that many rural areas do not consume lots of processed foods the way Americans eat processed foods. And also, I wonder if a lot of their sodium comes from foods like soy sauce that are soy-based, but not sprinkling salt on your French fries or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. The question of generalizability, you know, always needs to be asked, and it would be great to do a similar study in the U.S. There have been some studies. I think there was one done in a institutionalized setting that was similar and found some reductions in patient-oriented outcomes. But you're right, it would be good to replicate this in the U.S., where we consume much more sodium, I suspect, than in these rural villages. It's a good point.
The other thing is a little bit more far-fetched, if I could, but I've not tasted sodium chloride mixed with potassium chloride, but I have been told that it's a little bit bitter and patients don't like the taste. I'm wondering if people actually put that on their food, if maybe they consumed less food and they actually lost weight, and that was what contributed to the outcomes, not the actual sodium.
They didn't report the weights of, you know, pre and post. So maybe the food just tasted worse and people ate less. That's possible. But I think the most likely conclusion is that they had a lower sodium intake.
Yeah. Should be repeated. Mark, have you ever tasted it?
I don't recall ever tasting it. And as a 60-year-old with hypertension, I probably should.
Well, let us know. Thanks, Mark. We'll talk with you again in a week.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.